The title of today's sermon is The Teacher. And I'd like to begin in John chapter 13. I want to start off today with an admission to you, brethren, that for a long time I have been looking at some of the scriptures in a wrong context. The King James Version of 1611 was authorized by the King of England, making it the official version of the Bible. And I use the King James Version almost exclusively in my studying. Not when I'm preaching and not all the time, but when I'm studying, it's the one I know. I know the pagination, I can find things, my marks are in my Bible, and so forth. For a long time I had thought that I had a good feel for the word master. I thought I knew what it meant. In the Bible we read a number of times phrases like, the master of the house. And that was a reference to the one who was in charge. It's not a reference to the brother or the son or the servant, but master of the household, the one who's responsible, the one who gives the orders, the one who is in command. Paul, on one of his numerous sea voyages, spoke of the master and the owner of the ship, Acts 27 and verse 11. But when we read that, we know that the master of the ship is the one that we would call the captain, or the skipper, or chief, or the admiral, the one who was overall in charge, the man responsible, the one who gave the orders, the one in command, the ultimate authority on the ship. On a plantation, back before the Civil War, you had a master and you had a slave. There's a relationship. And everyone knew who called the shots. So every time I saw the word master in the Bible, that was a thought that I conjured up. I thought that I knew what a master was. But I was wrong. I was correct in those few examples that I just gave you, but they're in the minority. That is not what the original King James translators meant by master most of the time. John 13 and verse 13, if you'll read along with me. In the King James it reads, "You call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am." So when I read that, I thought, okay, Jesus is the master. And I conjured up all these thoughts of what a master was. Jesus agrees that he is both Lord and master. Now, the word Lord means God in supreme authority. I thought that the word master was like that, and that Jesus' disciples were showing deference to him by referring to him as the one who was overall in charge, that Jesus Christ was the one responsible, the one who gave the orders, the one with the ultimate authority. I thought master and Lord were synonymous. I thought they were almost the same, meaning basically the same thing. One, master, being somewhat earthy, the other, Lord, being somewhat heavenly. But I was wrong. In today's sermon, I will give you only two Greek words to consider. The word master, first of all, when it's translated from the Greek, didasko, D-I-D-A-S-K-O, meaning to teach, to educate, to instruct. Key in on that, brethren. That's the way the word is used most of the time in the New Testament. It means to teach, to educate, or to instruct, even though the King James translators translated it as master. So after the King James Version of 1611, some 370 years later, the new translation of the Bible came out. It was a new King James Version of the Bible, and it was in better English, and we call it the Anglicized Edition, and it was originally known as the Revised Authorized Version. It came out just before I attended Ambassador College. That's when the New King James, as it came to be known, came into common usage. The New King James Version came out in 1979 for the New Testament, and then the entire Bible came out in 1982. So it's a rather new translation. And since it was revised and I was fresh and new in the church, I didn't trust it. I didn't trust that version. Now, some of you might be working out of the New King James Version of the Bible right now, where we see in John 13:13, it is correctly translated here, where Jesus says, "You call me teacher and Lord, And you say, well, for so that I am. There is an emphasis here on teacher. And we're going to see today a great deal about teacher, more than we usually see, because it's hidden. It's hidden in a lot of ways. But the Bible wants us to understand about Jesus being the teacher. So when I saw the New King James Version, I thought it said teacher and Lord rather than master and Lord, which I thought was more powerful. I thought that the new translation was losing the impact of the original translation that the King James Version of 1611 portrayed so well. They had changed master to teacher. And I felt that that was taking away from the dignity and the majesty of Jesus Christ. I thought that they were watering it down. Again, I was wrong. John 13:13, one more time. Jesus says, you call me master. Okay, and this is that Greek word, and I'm not going to spell it out every time, didaskalos, but it means instructor, teacher, doctor. So Jesus says, you call me the instructor, you call me the teacher, you call me the doctor, and Lord. Okay, this word Lord, let me spell that one out for you as well, brethren. This is the only two Greek words that I'll give you today. Kurios, K-U-R-I-O-S, Lord, that's what it means. God, supreme in authority. And you say, well, for so I am. But then as we read on into verse 14, we'll notice that Jesus reversed the order of master and Lord. And he did so to emphasize that he was giving a direct command. The one who was responsible, the one who did issue the order. He was issuing a decree from a position of authority and not simply as an instructive principle. Notice verse 14 where Jesus turns him around. If I then, your Lord, he puts first, in supreme authority, and master, or better yet, teacher, instructor, doctor, have washed your feet, you also must, it should be must, wash one another's feet. Ought, it kind of gives you an option to opt out. You must wash one another's feet is what it has in the original text. Let's go over to Romans chapter 14. When we think of Jesus Christ in the roles that he takes on in the plan of God, we think of him as creator in the beginning, as a conquering hero. That's how he's going to return to this earth. We think of him as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And we quite often find him referred to as Master. Romans 14 and verse 4. Who art thou that judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. That's the original context that I understood. Master here, kurios, should have better been translated as Lord, the one who is in supreme authority. Master works fine right there. When we're studying the scriptures, it really helps to dig deeply to figure out what's being said. All of my life, when I heard the expression Lord and Master, I thought of these two terms as being interchangeable. I thought Lord and Master were exalted titles for Jesus Christ, much like King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In a great majority, however, of the times in the Bible when Jesus is called Master, the correct translation, the more proper translation, should have been teacher. And that's where I was remiss. That's where I missed the point. That's where I didn't see Jesus with the emphasis on teacher that the Bible so clearly gives out. When the old King James translators used the English term master, they had in mind schoolmaster or headmaster, and it was okay. When they used master, it meant to them a professor or school teacher, the master of the school or the college. But brethren, we seldom see that terminology today. And that's what threw me off. That's how master came to be in general use in the 1611 authorized King James version of the Bible. As in a school teacher or instructor, we see master being used, but not as an overlord or the one in authority. College professors or doctors are the ones who teach in a college. When we see doctors today, it's referring to somebody with a PhD who teaches. That's the way doctors is used here. And brethren, this is the way Jesus is most often referred to in the scriptures, as a teacher. Most often, this is the way he's referred to. Luke chapter 2. You know this story, brethren. It's about Jesus Christ when he was only 12 years old. And he had to learn the scriptures one by one as a little boy growing up, just like we do. Luke 2 and verse 46. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they, that's Mary and Joseph, the family, they found Jesus in the temple sitting in the midst of the doctors. Okay, that word doctors there is didaskalos. That's that teacher sitting in the midst of teachers, or the doctors of his day, the learned men, both hearing them and asking them questions. So that one didn't throw me when I saw that one. Hope that doesn't throw you. Don't think of a physical doctor there. That's not a medical doctor. They're doctors of education. They were the intelligentsia of the day, and Jesus Christ was talking to them. Now, brethren, I do not wish to belabor the point, but in today's sermon, when I come to the word master, translated from the Greek word didaskalos, or one of its derivations, I'll point out that teacher is the better translation. If you have one of these Bibles, feel free to put a little mark through there and write the word teacher next to master. That's the sort of thing that I do so that I don't get the different words mixed up, because they come from different Greek words. Now, there are about 5 or 6 endings in the Greek for the differences in syntax, like teach, teachings, teacher, teaching, taught, and so forth. Now, you can study those in your own personal Bible study time. You just need to know that the root word is teach. Let's go to John chapter 3. We have the English word didactic, and it's a direct derivation of this Greek word, didaktilos. Didactic, we don't use it all the time. We never used it down in Louisiana. Didactic means in the manner of a teacher. It means intended to teach, particularly in having moral instruction. Now, we know Nicodemus, he was a well-respected Pharisee, and he was a member of the Sanhedrin. Only the Gospel of John mentions Nicodemus by name. And you know, he came to Jesus by night to avoid ridicule by the other Pharisees. And later, Nicodemus became a part of the first century church, one of the saints in the body of Christ. Nicodemus called Jesus a teacher come from God. I think that's beautiful. That would have been a good title for today's sermon. A teacher come from God. And so he was. He was a teacher come from God. That's who Jesus was. John 3 and verse 2. The same, this is Nicodemus, came to Jesus by night, and he said unto him, Rabbi. Okay, now Rabbi is a teacher, but he's more of a spiritual teacher. We almost equate him with a minister. We know that you are a teacher. That's the didaskalos word. You are a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. A teacher come from God. So clear, so straight on. Jesus was an extraordinary teacher. And brethren, as much as Nicodemus was educated and trained to be a teacher of Israel, next to Jesus, Nicodemus was woefully inadequate as a doctor of the law. We read in John 3 and verse 10, and Jesus answered and he said unto Nicodemus, Art you a teacher, a master of Israel? And see, there's the word master being mistranslated. He's a teacher of Israel, and you don't know these things? In the day of Christ, the two words rabbi and teacher were used interchangeably by everybody, and it was understood. You don't have to go there, but in John 1 and verse 38, we read, Jesus turned, and he saw them following, and he said unto them, What do you seek? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to be interpreted, teacher or master, where do you dwell? And teacher is the better translation. The rabbi taught the law of God, spiritual concepts. We read also in John 20 and verse 16, Jesus says unto her, Mary, and she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher or master. So, teacher is what Jesus was known by. That's what he went by. When someone said the teacher, they were speaking about Jesus Christ. He had that reputation. Jesus tells us that we are always to defer to him and to his teachings. Now, that's a very important point, brethren, because in today's Church of God, people are deferring to organizations and to headquarters before Jesus Christ. And that is wrong. That is dead wrong. Jesus said in Matthew 23 and verse 8, "Be not called rabbi, for one is your master," is the way King James has it. "One is your teacher, one is your guide, even Christ, and your brothers, your brethren." This principle about putting someone else as our teacher and our guide, that principle was violated in the Church of God when we were taught that the local pastor was in charge of our lives and our fortunes. It is Jesus Christ who is both our Lord and teacher. Do we look to Jesus as our teacher and guide? Or do we follow in a rut of what others want to think religion is all about? Jesus Christ alone has the words of eternal life. You can put down John 6:63, verse 68 as well. So the title of my sermon today, rather than the teacher, could have easily been the educator, the professor, the doctor of education with his PhD. But what Jesus was he was the teacher come from God. Jesus Christ wants to be known as the teacher. And if we could see clearly in the scriptures, had them translated properly, we would see that concept over and over, way more than we can see it even in the corrected translations. Why did Jesus come to this earth? One of the reasons was to be our teacher. Of course, we've been raised and taught to think of Jesus as our Savior. And that's absolutely true. He's also called Redeemer and Lord and Master and Deliverer, among many, many titles in the Scriptures. There are so many roles that Jesus Christ fulfilled. He came that we might obtain forgiveness. He taught repentance. He made reconciliation to the Father possible. He came to magnify the law. Jesus Christ came as Messiah. The list goes on and on. We'll touch on some of those as we go through the sermon today. Colossians chapter 3. We do not often emphasize it, and it may come as a surprise to some of you, brethren, but the Bible regards Jesus Christ as a teacher more often than any of his other roles. And that's important. This is because Jesus wants to be known as the teacher. It comes across clearly if we could just understand the language. This is very important to understand because it tells us what we should be doing today. We are going to see the importance of coming to the stage where we too, brethren, are teachers ourselves. That's something that we're to be striving for. We need to be ready to be teachers when the millennium comes. Now let me go ahead and establish this point, first of all, that we are to be teachers. I want to establish it from the scriptures. In Colossians 3, in verse 12, we're told, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering." These are the teachings of Jesus Christ. Brethren, do we put up with people who get on our nerves? We are told to be, verse 13, forbearing of one another, forgiving one another. If any man has a quarrel with anybody, even as Christ forgave you, you also do likewise. Verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity or godly love, which is the bond of perfectness. Verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. That's why we're called into the body of Christ. Be thankful. And here's the punchline. Colossians 3 and verse 16. That's the one that needs to be in your notes. Colossians 3 verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. We get that by studying the Bible. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Brethren, God wants us to be our brother's keeper, practicing on each other, teaching one another, it says in verse 16. In verse 17, we're told, whatsoever you do in word or deed, whether we're speaking it or doing it, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So we are told that we are to be teachers. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 5. How did Jesus teach? Jesus taught basically two ways, by word and by action, the things He said, the things that He did. There is no more important task, brethren, in our lives than knowing the teachings of Jesus Christ and striving to become like Him. We are all in training to become teachers. And now is the time to qualify. In this world, in today's age, there are those who write off online for a diploma. It's not going to be like that in the kingdom. They haven't learned. They haven't been taught. When Jesus Christ returns to this earth and establishes the kingdom of God, we better show up with our education, already taught, ready to receive our teaching credentials from Christ when it's time to go to work in the millennium. Hebrews 5 and verse 12. For when for the time, or we would say, when the time comes that you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach. These are the same Greek words, didasko. You have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. So Paul says here, Paul writes this message to the Hebrews. He's the author of it. When the time comes that you ought to be teachers, you come short and you still need to be taught. Now that's God's word to us. Does that apply to me? Does that apply to you? The time when we should be teachers comes and we're not ready. We still need to be taught. Brethren, for most of us, our roles as teachers will be given to us in the millennium. Are we preparing now? Are we prepared now to be teachers? There are ministers in God's church today that have two sets of rules, one for themselves and another set of rules for everyone else. In spite of the arrogance of those ministers, here's what Jesus Christ taught about that double standard. I'm going to Matthew chapter 5. You can put your marker in Matthew 5 because we'll go there a number of times today. It's talking about a double standard where you tell people one thing but you don't live it for yourself. Matthew 5 and verse 19, Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall break one of these, the least commandments, and shall teach, pick up on that word, didasko, shall teach men so, he's breaking the commandments, and teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever shall do and teach, didasko, teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. We're to live it, and we're to teach it. This tells us, brethren, there's a very heavy responsibility placed on teachers to teach right teaching. This message is not being taught to many of our scattered brethren in the organizations that think that they have it all. They think that they have it all just exactly like they are right now. They don't have to be taught. They don't have anything to learn. They're already rich and increased with goods. That's in Revelation 3 and verse 17. There are more references to Jesus being a teacher in the scriptures than any other reference to Jesus Christ. Jesus came not only to save, but to teach us how to be saved. You can put these in your notes to back up that statement about Jesus teaching us how we can have life, how we can be saved. John 10 and verse 10, I'm come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Luke 10 and verse 28, keep the commandments. You shall live. John 5 and verse 40, Jesus said, come to me that you might have life. The teachings of Christ are effective and they have great impact. In Matthew 22 and verse 16, I'm going to quote the Pharisees. And I've often wondered whether the Pharisees were genuine in this or if they were being facetious, maybe spiteful, but it doesn't matter. God put it in His Word. Matthew 22 and verse 16. The Pharisees sent their disciples. These are not the disciples of Christ. They are the disciples of the Pharisees. The Pharisees sent their disciples out unto Jesus Christ along with the Herodians saying, Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth. I like that. Jesus taught the way of God in truth. And we see that they, even the Pharisees, knew Jesus Christ as the teacher. What an incredible admission of what the Pharisees actually believed, that Jesus was indeed a teacher. Jesus became widely known as the teacher. You can put down Matthew 26 and verse 18. That's just a few verses over. A teacher is one who has the ability to help others to learn. Teaching is showing or explaining how to do something by giving lessons as a rule. Jesus Christ always taught by His words and His actions. Even in the Old Testament, we'll go back there. Jesus Christ, God of the Old Testament, was the teacher even from the beginning. We read in Luke 24 and verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Jesus expounded. That means He explained thoroughly. This is the way you teach. You give all the details. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. And I'm going to go back to Exodus chapter 4 to begin with in the Old Testament. Just a few examples back here. But this is talking about Moses, and it's where Moses said, hey, I can't speak to Pharaoh. I'm not eloquent. I'm all tongue-tied and everything like that. And the Lord said unto Moses, this is in Exodus 4, verses 10 to 15. The Lord said to Moses, I will be in your mouth. I'll teach you what you are to say. And I'll put in Aaron's mouth the words that he needs to use. And I will teach you what you shall do. So we see Jesus teaching Moses back there. Deuteronomy 4, this is the second giving of the law. This was what God iterated to Moses just before he went into the promised land. We read in Deuteronomy 4 and verse 35, unto you it was shown that you might know that the Lord, He is God, and there's none else beside Him. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 36, out of the heaven He made you to hear His voice. Those are the words of Christ. That He might instruct you. That's what a teacher does. That's what a doctor of the law does. He instructs you. And upon earth He showed you His great fire and you heard His words. That's how we're taught. We hear the words of Christ out of the midst of the fire. Brethren, I want to share with you an email that I received. And I received this in response to this week's countdown to the return of Jesus Christ. And the email reads, it makes us ever mindful that through Christ, God teaches us each day. When we internalize what God imparts through His Holy Spirit, when we put into action all that Christ magnified since creation, and even more so through His words during His physical life, it sends a chill up my spine. Everything else that we do and think should be taking a back seat to what can be inculcated into our daily lives. God's Spirit is a precious gift that Christ promised, and we should be using it constantly to get closer to God and our brother Jesus Christ. And that's the end of the email. I wanted to share that with you, brethren. Jesus' teaching has a purpose. Let's go over to John chapter 8. Jesus is the greatest teacher of all time. But the teachings of Jesus Christ, the teachings that Jesus taught were not His own. The teachings that Jesus taught came directly from God the Father. We read that in John 8 and verse 28. Jesus said unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, when Jesus has been crucified, then you shall know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. So brethren, what do we see here? We see that God the Father teaches. He taught Jesus Christ who teaches. You can put this one in your notes. John 7 and verse 16. Jesus said unto them, my doctrine. Now that's another one of those words that could use a little bit of tweaking. My doctrine. That word doctrine there means instruction. It means teaching. My doctrine's not mine, but His that sent me, referring to the Father. These teachings come from God the Father. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 2. So we see that Jesus was taught by His Father. He in turn teaches us. Then we are to teach each other. Brethren, don't drop the ball. In this sermon, we're going to see that Jesus is the teacher, past, present, and future. The scriptures declare that. They proclaim that. Jesus will be the teacher in the millennial world tomorrow. Jesus will still be teaching in the future. And we, brethren, if this goes according to plan, we will be helping to teach right alongside Jesus Christ. That is God's plan for us. Notice the time setting. God's kingdom is being established on the earth as we read Isaiah 2, beginning in verse 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains. That means that God's kingdom will be over all of man's kingdoms. And shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Isaiah 2 and verse 3. And many people shall go and say, come you, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. And He will teach us of His ways. Right there in the middle of verse 3. Jesus Christ is the teacher. Back at the time of Moses, at the time of Isaiah, many other places. We'll see David in a minute. We will walk in His paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord. That's what Jesus Christ teaches from Jerusalem. Let's go over to the Psalms. Let's go to Psalm 71. We see that Jesus Christ has been the teacher yesterday, is the teacher today, and will be the teacher tomorrow. Jesus Christ taught David, who became King David, Jesus taught him all of his life. Psalm 71 and verse 17, David writes, O God, you have taught me from my youth, and hitherto I declared your wonderful works. Verse 18, now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed your strength unto this generation and your power to everyone that is to come. While we're here in Psalms, you can flip over to Psalm 25. When we respect God, He teaches us His truth. It takes a reverence. The King James uses revere or fear. But when we have a reverence for God, He teaches us His way, His life, His truth. God is the teacher. He teaches us. Notice in verse 12, Psalm 25 and verse 12. What man is he that reveres the Lord? Him shall he, God, him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. So God is our teacher. I should have had you keep your marker there in Isaiah. I want to be flipping back and forth. In Isaiah 54 in verse 13, it tells us, all the children shall be taught of the Lord. God is teacher. Jesus Christ, the God of the Old Testament, He is teacher. We read in Micah, the book of Micah, in chapter 4, in verse 2. Many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. And He will teach us of His ways. That's future tense, brethren. That's in the millennium. Jesus will still be the teacher. The scriptures point to Jesus Christ being the teacher more than it points to the other roles that Jesus Christ played all through civilization, creation to revelation. Jesus Christ is the teacher. Jeremiah 32 and verse 33. There's an example here. I want to touch on it because it talks about what happens if we reject the teachings of God, if we will not hear. Jeremiah 32, verse 33. And they have turned unto me their back, not the face, though I taught them. So these are people that are turning their back on God, even though they have been taught of the Lord. Rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. So clear what is necessary. Verse 34. But they set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name. In the temple of God, they set their abominations to defile it. They, brethren, the kingdoms of Israel, the kingdoms of Judah, they were destroyed as a result of ignoring the teachings of Christ, the instruction that he brought. So we ask ourselves the question, are we willing to be taught? Or will we hold on to our long-held bias and our ways? And brethren, if we think that we hold no bias, we are wrong. Let's go to John chapter 6. We all hold on to misconceptions. We all have sins that we haven't come to face with, that we might not even recognize in ourselves. That's why we're told to examine ourselves. And as we come up to Passover, we examine ourselves over and over. We don't think of ourselves as, I do it completely right. Only God, only Jesus Christ did it completely right. So we're headed back to the New Testament now. I asked the question we just saw in Jeremiah 32, that they turn their backs on God. Will we turn our back on Jesus' teaching, as did those of Jeremiah 32? And we're going to see where some people turn their backs on Jesus here in John chapter 6. John 6 and verse 51, Jesus said, I will give my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. In verse 55, Jesus said, for my flesh is meat or food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. This was grossing out many of the disciples. Verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, it's a hard saying. Who can hear it? It's too difficult to accept. Verse 66, from that time, many, not just a few, brethren, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. They couldn't take, they would not receive the teachings of Jesus Christ. But we're told that we're to do exactly as Jesus Christ. We're to teach as Jesus Christ. In 1 John 2 and verse 6, we're told, he that says he abides in him. Do we say, I abide in Christ? Christ lives in me, I live in Christ. He that says he abides in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. We are to do the things that Jesus Christ did. And he taught us to do them. Peter picks up on this same thought in 1 Peter 2:21. He says, we're to follow in the steps of Jesus Christ. Let's turn over to Titus chapter 1. This is a section of the scripture where Paul is teaching Titus, and he's speaking specifically of the qualifications of a man for the ministry of Jesus Christ. And Paul said in Titus chapter 1 and verse 9, holding fast, not turning your back on it, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught. There's that word again, didacte, as he has been instructed, that he may be able by sound doctrine, same word, has a little different ending here, didaskalia, sound doctrine, sound teaching, sound learning, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. So we saw God the Father teaches, Jesus teaches, the ministry teaches, you and I are to teach each other. So we see that part of our duty is the same thing Christ did. Jesus Christ was an instructor. He tells us what to teach. I want you to notice the emphasis that Jesus puts on teaching. And brethren, I'm going to touch on a lot of scriptures so that you can go back and look at these in time. And this is not to belabor the point, but to show the tremendous emphasis that the Bible puts on teaching. The Bible shows Jesus was the teacher, and he taught morning, noon, and night. Sabbaths he taught, Old Testament, presently in his lifetime, in his ministry, in the future. Jesus is the teacher. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. Jesus told his disciples, and it goes on to us by extension, "Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." Verse 20. "Teaching them to observe," that means to hold fast, "to all things whatsoever I have commanded you." So brethren, that wasn't just the disciples that did it those years that they had left. This is for you and I, by our lives, by our words, by our actions. We read in Matthew chapter 4 in verse 23, "Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases." Jesus Christ's teaching focused on the kingdom of God. Mark chapter 12 and verse 14. "And when they were come, they said unto Jesus, Teacher, we know that you're true, and you care for no man. You don't seek anybody's approval, for you regard not the person of men." You know, Jesus Christ is not impressed with the exaggerated reputation of men. "But you, Jesus, teach the way of God in truth." Didasco. You teach. Jesus is the teacher and he teaches. We see that very clearly in Mark 12 and verse 14. Jesus taught the way of God in truth. Matthew 19, 16. "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master." Now we can translate that and get a whole lot more understanding. It should be "good teacher," because that's our word. "Good teacher, what things shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Jesus Christ was the teacher, and this man in Matthew 19:16 recognizes that Jesus is the good teacher. The most important question we can ask is, what good thing shall I do that I might have eternal life? Matthew 9 and verse 35. "Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Matthew 21 and verse 23. "When Jesus was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, By what authority do you do these things? Who gave you this authority?" We read in Matthew 26 and verse 55. "In the same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple. You laid no hold on me." Brethren, I hope it's coming across, and not too much so, because this is the word of God. Jesus was teaching. He went about his life teaching. Mark 6. I mentioned it a while ago, but the Sabbath day is a good day for all of us, not only to be taught, but to teach one another. In Mark 6 and verse 2, we read, "And when the Sabbath day was come, Jesus began to teach in the synagogue. And the people were astonished by that. What wisdom this is, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands." Jesus not only taught by speaking, but he worked these great things with his hands, miracles and so forth. Mark 4, if we can turn over there just a few pages over. Jesus taught two ways, by his words, by the things that he spoke, by the actions, by his actions and the things that he did. We see some of the words of Jesus Christ in Mark 4 and verse 2. He was teaching by his words, and he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them, in his doctrine. Now that word doctrine there, that's the same word, and it means his teachings. Verse 3, Jesus said, hearken, that means listen to my teachings. And he taught by parables. In Mark 1, we see Jesus switching from his words teaching to his actions teaching. And there were many actions that Jesus took. He worked many, many miracles. He died on the cross. He washed feet at the last Passover. He healed. He had power over the elements, and he had power over the spirit world. Mark 1 and verse 27. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new teaching is this?" That word should be teaching right there. What new teaching is this that Jesus brings? "For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 6, brethren. Paul, again, was the author of the book of Hebrews, or the book to the Hebrew converts. And Paul coined this phrase, word of God. We're talking about Jesus teaching by words and actions. He coined the phrase word of God, and we see it in Hebrews 6 and verse 1, where he wrote, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ." And the word doctrine right there is the word that we all know, logos, the logos of Christ, or the word of Christ. So he says, "Let us go into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God." So doctrine here in Hebrews 6, 1, logos, it's not teaching. But in verse 2, in my Bible, it's the exact same word, but this time it's didache, and it is teaching. Hebrews 6 and in verse 2. Of the doctrine of baptisms, that's the teaching. We should read that. Of the teaching of baptism. Baptisms, laying on hands, and so forth. So, brethren, when we find out how many times teachings, the teachings of Christ, Jesus' teaching, he taught, all of those, we see the emphasis. The Bible just drives it home, and we're just barely touching on it, brethren. 2 John, small book. And I want to go to 2 John because I believe that John read what Paul said in Hebrews 6, 1 and 2, where he interchanged doctrine. It's translated doctrine both times, but it's two different words, logos and the Hebrew word for teaching. And so the beloved apostle John, he's writing very late, and he picks up on these terminologies in this coined phrase of Paul's, and he coins a new phrase, which is teaching of Christ. Now, that's not a very catchy phrase. You know, we don't hear teaching of Christ that often, or doctrine of Christ. We do hear that. It should be a catchphrase for the church of God. It is that important, the doctrine of Christ or the teachings of Christ. We read in 2 John chapter 1 and verse 9. And John writes, "Whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ." Okay, that should more correctly be in the teaching of Christ, because the word didache is the same word as teaching and instructing and teachings and all of those. Whosoever transgresses is not abiding in the teachings of Christ. He has not God. He that abides in the doctrine, or we should say the teaching of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. Teaching is that important if we want to abide with God the Father and Jesus. Next verse, 2 John chapter 1 and verse 10. If there comes anyone unto you and he brings not this doctrine, this teaching, don't receive him into your house. Don't even bid him Godspeed. Don't wish him the very best. What does that say about listening to Protestant evangelists or attending their meetings? So, Matthew 5, brethren, you have your marker there. I'm going to go speeding through Matthew 5. It's no way to study except to point out some of the many things that Jesus Christ taught. He was the teacher. And we read in Matthew 5 and verse 1, this sets the stage. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. Notice verse 2. Very, very clear. He opened his mouth and taught them. So clear. This is what Jesus was doing. And then, as we go through Matthew 5, in verse 3, He taught them about the poor in spirit. Verse 4, he taught about those that mourn. Verse 5, those that were meek. Verse 6, those who thirst after righteousness. Verse 7, those that were merciful, those that were pure in heart. Peacemakers, those that were persecuted for righteousness' sake. You can go all the way down through these, brethren. He says in verse 12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. If we're doing these teachings of Christ, if you're persecuted for doing so, it's not an easy job. Sometimes we think, oh, I must be doing something wrong. People don't like it. No, they didn't like what Jesus Christ said. They did not like his teachings. They called him the teacher and then they killed him. Let me ask this question, brethren. Are we growing in our ability to teach as Christ gave us an example? Are we becoming useful to Jesus Christ? Notice Matthew 5 and verse 13. I'm asking the question, are we useful to Christ? Jesus says, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt's lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot. Now that says that if we're not learning that Jesus is the teacher and learning what he taught and applying it in every facet of our life, we're good for nothing. Here, while we're in Matthew 5, verse 44, Jesus said, I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to those that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. We see the teachings of Christ. In Jesus says in verse 45, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. It's conditional, brethren. We have to do these things. This is who we have to be. We have to be students, disciples of Jesus Christ, putting it into effect so that we, in turn, can show others, can teach others. And Jesus taught many things. He said, feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, give refuge to a stranger, clothe the naked. Many of these in Matthew 25, beginning in about verse 35. Matthew 25, verse 35. He goes on, clothe the naked, care for the sick, visit those in prison. And he says, inasmuch as you've done that to the least of my brethren, you've done it to me. How does God expect us to do these things today? Look at our predicament. Here in the States, there are 50 million people either on welfare or government subsidies. Brethren, do we have a heart of compassion to care? We don't want to go out and become enablers, you know, split our check with someone who lives under a bridge, or go and live with him under the bridge in his cardboard jungle. What should we be doing? We ought to be about solving the problem where we are able. Through education, through teaching, through letting them hear this teaching of Jesus Christ. Truth, that's the commodity that's needed. It's needed by all the world. And brethren, just an editorial. That's where our government is woefully inadequate today. Their policies only perpetuate the problems. They exacerbate. They increase the problems because they do not know how to teach godly principles. Our lives are to be witnesses to the world of God's way. That's why it's so important for us to get back to the basics with repentance and zeal and get our feet back on solid doctrine. And I'm using doctrine in the way Christ used it, the teachings of Jesus Christ. Solid teaching. Everything Jesus did, the things that he did, he was teaching us to do them. What lessons was Jesus teaching? In Matthew 8 and verse 19, we read where a certain scribe came and said unto Jesus, Teacher, it says master in my Bible, Teacher, I'll follow you wherever you go. And we saw this other verse recently, but did we pick up the teaching aspect when we read in Matthew 12 and verse 38, certain of the scribes and Pharisees answered him saying, Master, teacher, we would see a sign from you. I don't think that everybody sees that Jesus is the teacher, the emphasis on him being a teacher. This is the sign of Jonah that we touched on recently. But Jesus was teaching about the resurrection, teaching who the Messiah was. Matthew 17 and verse 24. I know I'm burdening you with a lot of scriptures, brethren. This is for those who want to go back and study about teaching, being taught, and see the emphasis that the Bible hammers so hard that Jesus Christ is indeed the teacher. Matthew 17 and verse 24. When they were come to Capernaum, that's up on the Sea of Galilee, up in the northern part of Israel. When they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and says, does your master, or better yet, does your teacher pay tribute? And Jesus knew what he was talking about. And it was evident even to the unconverted masses. They were overwhelmed. They were astounded. Matthew 7 and verse 28. It came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings. Notice Jesus' teaching there. The people were astonished at his doctrine. They were astonished at his teachings. Verse 29. For he taught them as one having authority. Not as the scribes. He didn't teach like the scribes did. We read in Matthew 22 and verse 36, Jesus is called the teacher. I'd like to go to Matthew chapter 26, because this is where I took the title for today's sermon from. The specific article, the, is here in Matthew 26 and verse 18. That's why I took the title as the teacher, or the teacher. Jesus was preparing for Passover. And let me point this out, brethren. Jesus was well known by this moniker, the teacher. That was what he was called. He was known by that phrase, the teacher. Verse 18, and he said, go into the city and to such a man and say unto him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. That's the way we should read that in verse 18, Matthew 26 and verse 18. The teacher, and everybody goes, oh, I know who that is. I know who the teacher is. The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. Brethren, we should know Jesus as the teacher. The disciples commonly referred to Jesus Christ as teacher. They called him a teacher. The time that they were in the ship and Jesus was fast asleep, they said unto him, Master, don't you care that we're perishing? The correct translation is teacher. Right there. Teacher. Jesus taught about faith. And he taught about life. Jesus taught that it was the Father who determined the positions in the kingdom. Jesus taught to give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to give to God's what is God. Being a Christian, brethren, is a lifelong conversion of conforming ourselves to the image and the way of life that Jesus taught. That's what he brought. Jesus taught who should be baptized. Jesus taught that we should grow in stature and perfection. Jesus taught that forgiveness leads to love. Jesus taught compassion. Jesus came as teacher, not as judge. We see that this understanding of Jesus as the teacher adds a dimension to the life and work of Jesus Christ that heretofore may have been underestimated and treated too lightly. Jesus was a teacher come from God. Mark 6 and verse 34 says that Jesus taught many things. Luke 5 and verse 3, Jesus taught the people from offshore while he was out on the ship. Throughout the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus took the opportunity to teach. Read John 7 and verse 14. Even on the last great day, John 8, Jesus sat down and taught them. John 8 and verse 2. Brethren, let's close by going to John chapter 21. I've touched rapidly and way too rapidly. We can't even hardly cover them. But I didn't even scratch the surface today. We've barely scratched the surface looking at how our teacher, Jesus Christ, desires that we recognize him as the teacher. John 21 and verse 25 in closing. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, and I'll add, and taught. There are many things that Jesus taught, the which, if they should be written, every one of them, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Jesus is the teacher come from God.